agenda. They are all in the cabinet, in the khutla. And then there are several apologies from members of parliament. Those are also noted. Mrs. Adams, Honorable Mashogo, Honorable Kopani, and Honorable Sultani. The delegation from the department, Mr. Sirote, I'm not sure who's commencing with the presentation. It's your good health. As soon as you are ready, we are in your able hands. Gentlemen, with the capital G, I see no lady in your delegation. Welcome.
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Paul Sirota. I'm the head of the Property Management Training Entity, PTE. I'm accompanied by colleagues, Mr. Mukoro, the CFO, Imtiaz Faisal, our head of DDG Governance, Risk and Compliance, Mr. Henderson, head of EDWP, Mr. Sabatani is head of Construction and Projects, Mazima Sangu is the head of M&E, and at the back we've got DDG Corporate Services, Mr. Mujisa, and the head of Prestige, Mr. Sazo. Just a quick roadmap in terms of the content of the presentation. We will start with the purpose, and then we will get into the performance information. We will start with the department. Mr. Fisher will help me with the presentation. Then I will lead the presentation on the PMCE and with a slide that will show the way forward. Then Mr. Mukoro will deal with the financial performance for the first quarter. As indicated, the purpose of today's presentation is to reflect on the first quarter performance and financial information of the department and the PMCE in the financial year 2016-17 in order for the portfolio committee to advise on performance and exercise oversight. The objective of the portfolio committee on public works is for this purpose to have an understanding and measure the Q1 performance and financial information of the department for the financial year 16-17. I'm going to request that Mr. Faisal take us through the departmental performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sote. Chairperson, I'll commence the presentation on the with the slide on the screen just explain in a few words how we measure our performance. The extent of targets achieved would align to those targets where we achieve 90% and beyond, and is quantified as anything achieved in terms of 90% and above in terms of output and deliverables as defined in the particular performance measure indicator and targets. We also measure good performance between 50 and 89% and poor performance and no performance, which is less than 10%. Chairperson, our statistics that we present today are reflecting on the level of performance 90% and above, and that is how we define a target as being achieved. Moving on to the structure of programs to assist the presentation today. On the left, we have DPW, and on the extreme right, we have PMCE. DPW is constituted primarily of the EPWP, the Extended Public Works Program, the Property and Construction Industry Policy Program, as well as Prestige Management. That is the essence of DPW, whereas PMCE programs reflect the business model and core structures in terms of real estate investment services, construction project management, real estate management, which includes leasing in and leasing out, the real estate information and register, which includes the compilation and maintenance of our asset register facility, and the facilities management function. In the center, we have the shared services function. Finance and supply chain management are shared services. Corporate services, which includes legal services, and human resources as a core function, as also a shared service, governance, risk and compliance, which includes strategic management, fraud and corruption, oversight of the public entities, as well as monitoring and evaluation, also a shared service. And then chairperson and members of the committee, we have the intergovernmental coordinating function, which was launched during the current financial year and has been established to improve our relations with the public work family and to engage in intergovernmental coordination with respect to the delivery of infrastructure at all three tiers of government. So that really is our program structure, and I'll move on to the next slide to start talking about the performance within the Department of Public Works. The DPW has a total of 22 targets for this particular quarter one, and of the 22 targets, 17 have been fully achieved. Three are in progress, and that's 14%, and two are achieved. So chairperson, what we have essentially is, for the quarter under review, DPW has achieved a performance level of 77%. Compared to the previous year's performance for DPW was 66% for quarter one, 2015-16. So there is marginal improvement in the level of performance from one year to the other. With respect to the two targets, chairperson, they're broken down for program. Program 1 has 12 targets, of which 9 were fully achieved. Program 2, intergovernmental coordination within DPW, achieved all 3 of its targets. The expand public works program has 3 targets and 2 were achieved. The property and construction industry policy and research program had no targets for this particular quarter. And finally, the prestige policy has 4 targets and 3 have been fully achieved. With respect to the percentage of targets achieved per program in quarter 1, 2016-17, we see that the program 1 administration is achieving at 75%, program 2 at 100%, EWP at 67%, policy not applicable, and prestige at 75%. Chairperson, some of the highlights of this period under review include the development of a service delivery model. So this refers to the macro service delivery model in the department, which is the process of developing a model that enables our department to effectively deliver on all programs and realize our goals going forward. And during this particular quarter, the first building blocks with respect to delivering high-level macro service delivery model were undertaken. This will be followed in subsequent quarters by our respective branches developing their own business processes to align to the high-level service delivery model of the department. Chairperson and members of the committee, during the period under review, we also commenced the development of models for a compliance function within the department. We have various dispersed compliance functions in the department, and the intention is to create a centralized compliance model to oversee compliance with all rules and laws at the central corporate level. Another highlight, chairperson, for the period under review is that all investigations received during the quarter were commenced in the statutory period of 30 days. 86% of compliance invoices were settled within the 30-day working requirement. With respect to capacity building, 100% of funded vacant posts were advertised on time as per the recruitment plan. And in respect of intergovernmental coordination, the new function I refer to, 3 intergovernmental forums were convened during the period under review. With respect to EPWP, 100 non-profit organizations were contracted for the implementation of the NSS and non-profit program. With respect to municipalities, 230 municipalities have been provided with technical support. A draft policy on movable structures have been developed for the prestige function, although it is still under approval. And also with respect to prestige, 1,930 out of 2,004 requests were completed within the 20-day requirement. The chairperson, the 20-day requirement refers to mechanical breakdown. This is an achievement of 96% of that target. Also with respect to prestige, and in particular with regard to emergency breakdowns, 1,807 out of 2,178 requests were completed within 4 working days. This is an achievement of 83% of the target. Also staying with prestige, 2 planned and 1 unplanned state events were supported with movable infrastructure during the period under review. Chairperson, at this point, I'll hand over to my colleague to take you through the performance information for the PNG.
Thank you. Thanks, Chairperson and members. If one looks at the summary page of the achievement, we have the pie graph that depicts an achieved rating of 54%, 29% where we have partially achieved, and 17%
where we are still in progress towards achievement, which I will deal with in a bit more detail. But just put a little bit clarity there. This is made up of the 24 targets that we were tracking with respect to the third quarter. Of these 24 targets, we achieved 13, which makes up the 54%. 7, which were partially achieved, 29%, and 4 that are in progress. Now, I wish to highlight that as a quarter one a year ago in 2015, we were sitting at an achievement rate of 28%, which was just at the beginning of our efficiency enhancement phase of the turnaround program. We are currently almost double the performance, and you will see where we are partially achieving or achieving in progress. It is mainly linked to program 1, 3, and 6, which is finance, SEM, and the forms that are happening to enhance construction and facilities management, which is program 3 and program 6, respectively. Now, of the 7 that were partially achieved, the detail in summary is as follows. When it comes to the invoices paid within 30 days, we target and aspire to be at 100%. We have been improving at a very a good rate, but we still have about 100%, are sitting at 86%. Where we are talking about the number of bids that ought to be awarded within 56 days, the target is 60%. But we have only managed 41%, and the primary reason for that is really the sheer volumes and the need for us to reform, and the reforms I will deal with them primarily in the two areas of program 3, which is construction, program 4, which is leasing, and program 6, which is facilities management. When it comes to the quotations award within 30 days, we had targeted 85%, we managed to get an achievement rate of 75%. We then had targeted to hand over, once we have finalized our internal processes, 54 sites for construction to commence within the quarter. We managed to hand over 39. We managed to start to define the prescribed very strict criteria of the leasing, which move more into the efficiencies, making sure that we are starting to achieve closer to market rentals, as an example. We have managed to achieve 50% in the leases procurement. Again, the specific procurement reform around this, around leases, that we are still going to, I will still deal with in my presentation. The EPWP work opportunities created through maintenance projects, we managed to achieve 50%, 499 jobs of the 1,000, and mainly it's the manner in which we have started to implement a process of monitoring and measuring the contractors that are doing work for us for the first time in a very structured manner. We have managed to do that to the extent of 50% in this quarter. We aspire to have 1,000 a quarter. There is the issue of the reduction of kilowatt hours in the identified portfolio. We are targeted to reduce the consumption by 62 million. What we have been able to report is 41 million. And the issue that we have here is really one of timing. We are unable to, by the time that we are here, have already consolidated all the municipal accounts the verification processes. So we have managed to verify. You will see that as the year progresses, we actually will start to reflect higher savings as the reports come through. Then there were the four which we have said are in progress at 17%. And two of them dealt with the infrastructure projects completed on time and on budget. In both those instances, we had targeted a 60 projects, managed to achieve those prescribed criteria to the extent of 28 of those 60 projects. We will then deal with the reform that pertains to maintenance, and in particular day-to-day maintenance. I deal with it later in the presentation, but this is an area of focus currently, and we have a specific program over the next 180 days to deal with the efficiencies in responding to unscheduled maintenance or breakdowns. The summary of the performance by program, so the same 24 targets just presented in graphs. Program 1, you will see the rate at which we have performed is we have totally achieved to the extent of 2 out of the 5. Program 2, real estate and investment services, 100%. Program 3, like I mentioned, one of our focus areas, construction and project management, 2 of the 6. Program 4, real estate management, 2 of the 3. Real estate information and registry, 100%, and the other focus area being facility management, 2 of the 5. The same presentation in percentages translates to an achievement of program 1 at 40%, program 2 at 100%, program 3 at 33%, program 4 at 67%, 100% for program 5, and 40% for program 6. Some of the key elements in terms of the results that you are seeing, we have commenced with the process of developing a financial model towards a cost recovery basis and a self-sustained PNE. So our target for the complete model, so we have got the framework done. Our target for the complete financial model is to have it done and dusted by the end of the financial year. And also the issue of one of the areas where we have said we would like to pay 100%, that's what the law says, pay 100% within 30 days. We have managed to continue to rise up to about 86%. I'm sure CFO will deal with some of the initiatives that he's put in place to continue to increase that. With respect to Program 2, that's one of the things that I should have started at is to say, you know, for the first time in the past financial year, we have been able to have the user asset management plans, which then starts to direct the activities of the organization in a lot more structured manner. So we are continuing with that work. Although those targets, you will start to see the achievement as we refine them towards the latter part of the financial year. However, we have now been able to produce the custodian asset management plan, consolidated as per client department accommodation requirements. Like I said, this is then used to inform the property and portfolio strategies as guided by the Enabling Act. So that's been approved. The process of assessing building performance is ongoing and is a subject of continued work to enable us to continue to make investment decisions around the portfolio. When it comes to Program 3, construction and project management, 72 approved infrastructure projects ready for tender. 39 infrastructure sites handed over for construction, like I dealt with in the area slides. And in terms of the two key targets that are currently not where we would like them to be, but they're sitting at a 46% rate as far as infrastructure projects delivered on time and within budget. When it deals with when we program for real estate management, 50% of new leases procured for user departments, we have managed to start achieving the prescribed set criteria in terms of the new business processes. Lease renewals, we have renewed 100% of those at the request to be renewed within the prescribed time frames within the quarter. When it comes to Program 5, we are targeted to have 2 provincial removable asset registers are set for compliance with respect to the Europe Airspace Stock Criteria, and we have managed to do that for the Northwest and Limpopo provinces. Program 6, scheduled maintenance, 256 buildings with scheduled maintenance contracts in place. It's one of the areas that we struggled with last year that we have managed to really get right in this financial year. The area that is now the subject of a new program is the unscheduled maintenance. You will see that our ability to resolve unscheduled maintenance incidents within the prescribed time frames that we have, we are meeting to the extent of 9% for emergencies, urgent 10%, and normal 21%, which we have accepted is not good enough. Now, in terms of that item, I would like to just give you a quick insight into the program that I've referred to. We have put in place a program which will be starting in September, which is the program that aims us to say, let's define the adequate baselines and benchmarks. We have identified 300 buildings nationally. And of the 300 buildings, there are a couple of things that we have set out 180 days to check and monitor them. The first one is how we're going to make the buildings visible. Now, through the use of technology, we are able to then check a couple of things. The first one is the performance of, for instance, the lift infrastructure. So we are in the process of installing sensors in those lifts for the 300 buildings. The performance of the HVAC systems, we are in the process of putting in remote sensing units in those HVAC units. We are also installing infrastructure that deals with remote metering. So those are the minimum three elements that we will be tracking through our connectivity solution. We are establishing a unified command center which will sit parallel to our call center. And the task of this will be to monitor those three elements in 300 buildings, going up to 1,500 buildings next year, then going up to 7,500 buildings as the program progresses into the outer years. But for the first 180 days, we'll be monitoring 300 buildings to deal specifically with how we respond to unscheduled maintenance, and going forward, how we then monitor our buildings and against service standards. In summary, the percentage of target achieved when combined the department and the PMTE, you will recall public works, the department performance on average 77%, PMTE at 54%, with an overall average of the two at 66%. The biggest focus area is currently around supply chain management reform in the context of specific programs. The programs that are the subject of the biggest reform is Program 3, which is construction and projects, Program 4, which is EC, and Program 6, which is facilities management. Now, the essence of it is to move away from the process of individually procuring thousands of projects which affect the performance of SCM, as I indicated in Program 1, where we said we would like to have awards, all at least tenders awarded within 56 days, but we are not achieving the target that we have set. And it's sheer volumes that are affected. So the approach that we have set, having looked at other infrastructure delivery units of government, we were of the opinion that the establishment of panels is going to be the most appropriate way for us to be able to implement IMS. We have started with the process in two areas, the first area being the establishment of a panel of accommodation service providers on the real estate management side, so the lessors and landlords. That progress is nearing completion, and the advert is scheduled to go out to the market in September. on the infrastructure delivery side in terms of construction and projects and facilities management. We are still working on the tender of reference for that, and before the end of the year we will have the advert having gone out for the appointment of the panel for consultants, contractors, and also facility management service providers. It will enable us to get the SCM process a lot more efficient on the one hand, but also on the other hand, it deals with the compliance issues. I must add that we are working with the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer. The other major development that has happened in the court as well is Treasury has issued new guidance and they've issued new SCM regulations that also require in some of our processes that we add them. For instance, if there is a need for us to have a deviation for whatever reason that is within the compliance framework, we are still required to engage with Treasury to get a concurrence on that. We've got absolutely no problem with that. In fact, it has assisted us to strengthen our processes in terms of procurement. There are a few other developments that I can touch base on to support the work that we are doing on accommodation service provision when it comes to the leasing side. We are working with, again, Treasury to develop the new leasing framework, supply chain management framework for leasing in government. So that's quite a big development that is on its way. And there's also a standard that's being issued which deals with the infrastructure service delivery. So those are the areas that have provided a lot of support in the reforms that we have been putting in place within the department, and in particular the PMCE. ICT solutions, the implementation of the ERP is at the center of the work that we are doing. For instance, the implementation of the renewable asset management module of Aribas. We have developed a leasing portfolio. Now, in the context of the comment I made earlier around the appointment of the panel of lessors, so the approach to accommodation management changes totally. So we have had to internally develop a system which will do the accommodation management for us, which then means we are able to get all our systems talking to each other. That is being developed. We'll interface with our accommodation service providers. It interfaces with our user management plans. It interfaces with our user departments. It is currently in prototype and will be ready for implementation as we go into the process of procurement of accommodation service provision panel. Now, I wish to emphasize that we developed this internally. I think it's one of the fruits of having invested in certain areas when it comes to our ability to do certain things. We did not go out into the market to develop this, and I think it will really be a game changer in the manner in which we approach accommodation service provision, particularly on the leasing side. The technology part that will assist us with dealing with the condition assessment is also linked to or is embedded in the program, the 180-day program in facilities management services. When it comes to real estate investment services, we have gone through a process of identifying the areas that have the potential, if not attended to affect the delivery of infrastructure in the other programs. So we have said, let us quantify the extent of the variations and let's fast track them. The feasibility studies that we do are part of the business processes. Let's get specific resources to help us to deal with that area and those volumes in line with the programs that we have. Let us ensure that we ensure that where we are required to dispose of properties, and particularly the types of disposals that we are dealing with, have got to do with the performance of other programs. For instance, other departments requesting us to dispose or to transfer properties from us to them, municipalities that have specific requirements that require us, and of course the long-term leases fall within that. Now, our inability to process those disposals could impact on other government programs that deal in other departments. When it comes to construction and project management, we have spoken a lot about IDMS and where we are in terms of IDMS and so forth as a concept. But for the first time this year, we are implementing IDMS. And you will see IDMS in our annual performance plan. And it's linked to all of the reforms that I've also mentioned. And then all of this is happening as we are improving efficiency. Now, for one to be able to do that and keep up, we have had to focus on ensuring that the branch is adequately capacitated with key skills, particularly in the categories where we are really short of, or the market effect is short of those skills. I could give an example. I think we've probably got less than 3 structural engineers in the entire environment. You know, we've got a limited number of electrical engineers, for example, and civil engineers, and so forth. And that's the kind of capacity that we are talking about in those areas. Now, in order for us to deal with this, we have been working as well with the other implementing agents within government to assist us in managing this capacity constraint. On the real estate management services, I think I've spoken at length about the developments in terms of the leasing framework. The revision of the leasing agreements is part of it. The standardization of these agreements is just enables the conduct inside of it. Mm-hmm. But I would like to emphasize here that the links to all of this is an ability for us to have the right level of insight into the market to be able to respond to the request that Treasury has made that we are able to start reducing the cost of leasing. Now, for us, the target is achievable for two reasons. The first reason is that we have done two exercises already to confirm the extent to which over time the cost of an average lease for government, how that compares to the cost of an average lease as reported in the market, utilizing the reports that are available, for instance, your older report or your support report. And we know that the average rental of government is higher than the average rental for the private sector. So we've got those numbers. That's the best reason. So that's what we are working towards. Obviously, taking into account the condition of the building, the age of the building, and the facilities in the building. And that is the hope of negotiating when you are dealing with this. The second reason is that you recall that some years ago, as part of the stabilization phase, Treasury issued a dispensation which then started to say, over a 3-year period, this is the framework within which you will operate. Your leases will be kept at 3 years, and they've given us specific parameters within which we have implemented. Now, the first dispensation comes to an end March, April next year, hence the emphasis on the reforms now so that they're able to deal with those thousands of leases when we have to process them in March, April next year. And then the following year is the second dispensation around the same time, March, April, comes to an end. So we'll be able to respond to the need for governments to reduce the leasing costs. When it comes to facilities management, I've tried to deal with the issue of the top 300 buildings. We have identified the buildings we are ready to implement. We have also tried to make sure that we link the activities that deal with day-to-day maintenance to the optimization of the workshops. And I think that deals with the performance of the PMT. The CFO will take us through the GPW, the Department Financial Information, and then the PMT Financial Information. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
thank you, Chair. and honorable members, let me start off by taking us through the, as you know, we have two reporting entities. One is the main vote, the public works, main vote, and by virtue of transfer of functions from the main vote to professionalize our property management business, we established a trading account, and that gave a separate reporting entity with respect to the actual activities of property management and construction projects under the property management trading entity, which is a separate reporting entity from the main vote. In terms of the actual question with the main vote itself, the total appropriation for the year, I thought I should just try and give a sense of what it is that we are responsible for from a funding perspective. And that's a reference to slide 21 in the pack. We have a total annual appropriation of about 6.5 billion rands. So that's the total. And if you break down the total in terms of the appropriations, per economic classification, you'll realize that on the second slide, there's a pie chart that talks to that. But essentially, on slide 21, 7% of the total appropriation, 6.5 billion, is to compensation of employees for the main vote. Remember that the PMTE, it doesn't say it is compensation of employees for the department in totality. If you combine the two, you realize that it's about a much higher number. But just for the main vote fund, it's 20 million rands, which is 7% of the total appropriation of 6.5 billion rands. Then goods and services is 431, which accounts for about 7%. And the lion's share of our actual appropriation for the main vote is actually in the form of transfers and subsidies, which accounts about 85%. And these are transfers, there's a separate slide, that indicates the transfers that we are doing from the main vote to the individual entities and executing bodies that do work for the department. Then you've got payments for capital assets, which is machinery and equipment, that accounts for about 1% of the total appropriations of 6.5 billion. We've taken the total appropriations and said, what is the actual expenditure for quarter one, which is the next call. The total spent for quarter one is about 1.7 billion rands of the 6.5 billion rands, which accounts for 26% of the actual appropriation being spent in the first quarter. And members will know that a year is made up of four quarters, and four quarters account for about 25% of your time that would have elapsed for the year. So if you compare the time that we actually running for the year and the expenditure, you will see that it's more or less in alignment. The time is, that has elapsed is 25%, and the expenditure is about 26%, that's a percentage higher. But you see a variation if you look at the different economic classifications in terms of comparing the time and the actual expenditure that we have. For instance, for compensation of employees, we are sitting at 25%. This is the one area that we are ensuring that we are managing very tightly because of the intent to update the creation or the accumulation of an annual tax expenditure to ensure that we stay within this ballpark. Treasury in the current period, you know, in terms of the very tight fiscal space that we operate under, the issues of compensation of employees and goods and services are subjected to stringent cost containment measures. And hence, if you look at the goods and services, the expenditure today is something about 16% against the time of 25% that is lapsed, which means there's some measure of cost containment that we've introduced to slow down the pace of expenditure for the year. Then the transfers and subsidies, these are transfers, as I said, that we do to our entities and our executing bodies, and we're sitting at 28%. These are time-bound. There's a drawdown schedule for the year. And in terms of the drawdown schedule, we are in line with that schedule, sitting at 28%. The bulk of these will start to kick in when you look at, for instance, your EPWP transfers that needs to happen to the executing bodies, as well as our transfers that relate to to the other bodies that I mentioned. And then for capital machinery and equipment in terms of assets, we said about 20% of the expenditure. What we've done is we've compared the current expenditure year to date, which is the first quarter, with what it was in the previous quarter, year, the same period. So it's year-to-year comparison of Q1 this year versus Q1 last year. And if you look at Q1 last year, we're setting the total overall expenditure of the actual appropriation at 10% compared to the 26% that we're setting currently. And if we did not put in measures in the prior year to try and slow down the 30%, there would have been potential instances of over expenditure, and that's how we managed the spending pattern. Like I said, slide 22, Chair and Honourable Members, is just a pictorial depiction of what I was talking about in terms of how the 5.5 billion rand has been split up amongst the different economic classifications. And as you can see, 1% goes to the machinery and equipment, 7% to composition of employees, as I said, just to underscore the point that I made earlier on. And in terms of the actual expenditures against the appropriations that we have, for the different economic classifications, slide 26 tries to deal with those things individually. For instance, slide 23, I meant, composition of employees, the composition of employees, we're setting at 25%, which is in line with the time that I've indicated, the first quarter, it's in line with the projections, and we are not projecting any over expenditure in that regard. And then if you compare year on year, same period, we can say that we've improved our expenditure compared to the spending for the same time in the previous period, where we were sitting at 21% versus the 25% now. Which means that, in terms of the performance that you spoke about, we have tried to fill in those vacancies and that were available, that were there. And the goods and service, the spending of 16% for goods and services is in line with the projections for the first quarter, as you have said. Like I said, we've introduced the cost containment measures that Treasury has issued, and in that sense, we managed to slow down expenditure and put it at 16%. And this is kind of, if you look at it year on year, more or less just 3% higher last year when you compare to this year in terms of the cost containment measures here. And then we are not projecting any over expenditure in the current financial year. The transfers, like I said, these are based on the drawings, drawdown schedules that are there. And then we've also had a GRIMA FA. You will recall, members, honorable members, that you have passed the GRIMA Act, and GRIMA is a fully constituted entity. And as a result, there have been the transfers to the GRIMA and their approval in terms of the adjustment. Like in the previous period, where the transfer to GRIMA sitting under goods and services and creating a misalignment of the expenditure and the budget. Now we've corrected that with the establishment of GRIMA as an entity that's been done. And in terms of the transfers, because we're going to stay within the border of schedules in terms of drawings that we have agreed with, we are not even also expecting to have an overall under expenditure in the future. And then the expenditure in terms of 16, if you compare last year this year, that also more or less stays the same because of the agreements in terms of the drawdown schedules. And under the machinery and equipment, the expenditure of 20% is in line with the drawings for the first quarter. That's how we are planned. And we're not expecting any over expenditure as well. And if you compare year on year, current year versus last year, same period, the expenditure is in line with the spending trend for 2016, and 16% was spent at the end of the first quarter last year as well. So more or less aligned. On slide 24, the slide 24, as I said, the lion's share of the department's allocation goes to the transfers and subsidies. On slide 24, we've tried to apply what these transfers are. The total, in terms of the 6.5 billion rand allocation, 5.5, in terms of the total of that appropriation, goes to the transfers. And if you look at the period for 30 June, that's 5.5 billion rand, and where the transfers manage to, you'll see the actual different progress that we are funding and the entities, or you can call them PRISM, your CID, your CDE, your IDT. Last year we had a transfer of political union rights. This year there was no transfer to IDT, the Commonwealth Wealth World Graves, Parliamentary Village, PMTE. So in terms of the total 5.6 billion rands that are transferred, 3.4 of the 5.5 billion rands goes to PMTE. Then the EPWP centers, and a small amount for the South African Council for Land Architects. So that's in totality what we've transferred, 1.5 of the 5.5 or 5.6, which is 28%, and if you compare that to last year, more or less along the same number that we have in there. If you look at the slide 25 gives us that total 6.5 billion rands, what did it spend or how did it allocate to the different programs that we have in the department? And the programs that we have is administration, which takes about 8% of 6.5, and then which is about 515, and that is the funds we spend to run the operations. Then there's intergovernmental coordination, a small number of 31 million. If you take it as a percentage of the total, you can see it's almost 0%, but if you do it to a number of decimal places, the number will be there. EPWP, 36% goes to EPWP, and property and construction industry policy and research, that's about 3.6 billion, right? And included in that, the lion's share of that 3.6 billion rand is actually the transfers that I indicated. And then prestige policy, that's 96 million, which is about a percentage of the 6.5 billion that I indicated. And if you look at the expenditure, this quarter against the appropriation per program, you'll see that we have spent 22% for administration as opposed to the 25% time that we have, 8% on intergovernmental so spending, and EPWP 23%, and the transfers mainly under the policy and construction industry policy research, that's 30%, and the prestige is at 21% of the expenditure to date against the term of 25%. Slide 26 is just a tutorial depiction of, you know, the cutting of the cake in terms of the main vote that has been done, and you can see the bulk 1355, which is the program under property and construction industry policy and research, taking the lion's share, the highest other number in terms of the allocation going to the EPWP Expanded Public Works Program that we are managing and coordinating on behalf of government and departments. That, honorable members, chair members, concludes the main votes set of accounts to just indicate how we spent. I will then now move to the property management trading entities financial information for the first quarter of this current year as well. The PMTE, we started off, I'm going to start off with just the revenues that we are getting. You'll recall that PMTE gets revenues and there's expenditures that go against the revenue.
We've had quite a lot of information, so I just wanted to check with members. Is there anything that you might want to raise on what we have read thus far before we take the next portion of the equity, as it were? Okay. Proceed, then. Thank you very much.
Yes, Chair. I will try and make it a little bit faster and a little bit exciting if I can. Okay. These are the last slides, Chair, and I'll try to summarize them in a way that can, yeah. The revenues for PMT is about 11.8 billion rand, and we've broken it down into the different kinds of revenue lines that we have. The state owned accommodation, what we charge other departments to collect revenue for the usage of the Hassel Tower under our custodianship, then the privately owned accommodation charges, is the leases that we enter into a private landlords or property owners that we then go on lease to the other client. So we collect the revenue from the client department and pay it over to the landlords as expenditure. And then we've got management fees and municipal services. These are the management fees that we pay, that we attract and earn by paying and administering the municipal services charge to client departments that we actually manage. We charge a 5% fee of their expenditure. Then augmentation is what the transfer we get from the main vote, existing under the program four that I said, about 3.4 billion rents in Kentucky. To date, we've collected 5 million rents of that augmentation. That is the monies that the national fiscus provides to the PMTE for its operations, basically. And the rental debtors is what we collect from the occupation of property that belongs to status in small properties like little houses and that. So we project about 40 million rents in totality for the year. And other, which is all interest and a whole lot of other miscellaneous income and tolls for parkings and all those kind of things coming into that. About 24 million rents. To date, we have collected about 2.6 million rents of the actual revenue that we projected, which is about 2% against the projection, along the lines of the 25% time that we have. And if you look at it, there's big numbers that come in, 61% of the revenue that we have for state for accommodation, we have collected, and it is because we have introduced a process of advanced values that we need to have. And on our private accommodation, what we project 3.9 to date is 508, and the national fees is 8% because the values for municipalities are slow for us to be able to get more. And the augmentation is according to the drawdown that is agreed between the PMT and the department in terms of the release of the funds. If you look at slide 29 deals with the summary of the experience of the economic classification, just the detail of each one that comes under that. If you look at it, and the current payments or current expenditure, you've got compensation of the employees, goods and services, cleaning and gardening services, operating leases, repairs, maintenance, and municipal services, and the transfers, we've indicated the property rates and taxes that you pay to the municipalities for the properties, and the transfer subsidies, and payment for capital assets being the equipment that we procure for capital nature for the running of the operations, the refurbishments, as well as the infrastructure capital budget that we do for the DPW's infrastructure projects. In terms of the annual budget for current payments of the 8.8 billion rands, the compensation is about 1.6 billion rands. So that's what I wanted to, 1.4 or 1.5 billion rands. So if you combine the 1.4 billion rands of compensation of employees worth for the PMT with the 470 billion rands that I spoke about in under the DPW, that gives the total compensation of employees for the combined Department of Public Works and Main Road and the PMTE, even as a number. And the expenditures, we indicated the expenditures of against the annual appropriations for each one of those items, giving us an overall at the bottom of 23% spent to date of what we project to spend. And we'll get into, we can get into the detail of each one of those in terms of the expenditures, you know, slow or fast spending. I'll skip that. And then slide 20 just give us a breakdown of the total budget of 11.8. And if you look at a total budget of 11.8, expenditure budget, on slide 29, and you compare to the total revenue on slide 28, is the same amount of money. But we say what we collect, we spend, and the whole intentions with the trading account is to ensure that we literally end up in a net of or situation, basically. Slide 30 just breaks down the detail of the allocations in terms of the different economic classifications as we have it on slide, as we have them on slide 29. You have the detailed composition to give you a sense of what where the bulk of the expenditure is going. And when you can see in terms of the bulk of the expenditure on 31, the biggest slice of that pie is the purple slice, which is the operating leases. That's where most of the expenditure goes. But again, if you look at the revenue side, that expenditure is reflected almost the same as the revenue that you are collecting on the other side of the income statement. I think I've already gone through a little bit of detail on this slide 32 to explain the variances of the expenditure that we have on the previous slides of expenditure. We then moved on to just to give an indication of what we have in terms of the allocation on slide 34. The allocations that we get from client departments for infrastructure projects on their behalf. And today we're talking about 2.3 billion rand that is being appropriated or being transferred to the PMTE for execution of infrastructure projects for the other departments. And we just have the departments like agriculture, culture, corrections, defense, home affairs. As you can see, the most amount of money comes from SAPs in terms of infrastructure projects, followed by disasters, followed by correctional services, and then arts and culture, quite significant amount, at about 250 million rands. And the expenditure today, of that 2.3, we set an expenditure of about 679 million rands for the first quarter, which is a mere 17%. If you compare that with 25% of the period that has elapsed, the question will be, how are you going to be able to claw back on the 8% that is behind? As we are already there. I must mention that the allocations that we have from the client departments that relates to the total for the capital infrastructure projects of 2.3 billion rand relate to the allocations in last year, GME and MTO submissions. What happens is when the year starts, mid-quarter one, which is around May, we then get together with the client departments to do a reprioritization based on their new priorities. And that process happened in May, and there's been a significant amount of reprioritization from client departments into the projects that they want to execute. And as a result, the performance that you see here is quite reflective of what will be going forward into the rest of the year. So we'll see the benefits of those reprioritization exercises later in the year after the adjustments have been made to the projects. And most of the projects that are reprioritized have now been scheduled. They've gone out to tender. The awards are happening. So the pace of spending will accelerate quite significantly in terms of that. So in terms of the explanatory notes would relate to the pre-reprioritization exercises that have been asked. And as I said, we will, in quarter two, be in a position to present a much more better account of the expenditures versus the allocation per the type of each and every one of the types that we have in terms of the capital expenditure programs. And then we dealt with, that will be in the current slides, are dealt with from slides 35, 36, 37 of the exercise to try and explain the variances that occurred. And I don't think I'm going to get to it. Honorable members, chair members, through the pain of the individual one of those leading to the questions that will follow. I think I should end there, chair, and then we can take questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to all the presenters. Honorable members, your opportunity for engagement, questions, areas of strategy. The third is that of Honorable Kwala Banet, followed by Honorable Sitole, and Honorable Matop, and Honorable Macias, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, some quite general questions initially. Your operationalization, yes, meant moving some of the programs from DPW to PMTE. But what we've got is quite confusing information with regard to the names of the funded programs and the sub-programs, because they're shared programs. It would appear, should, I would imagine, appear both in the DPW and the PMTE reporting sheets. but that doesn't seem to be the case. So could you just try and clarify that, please? Now, this committee refers to the need for the department to ensure that the current white paper on public works required review, and there were other reports emphasized in the budget review and recommendation reports in 2015, on 2015, and the budget reports over the last few years, that that needs to be completed. Now, has the department the requisite skill and competency in the organogram to do it or not? It's something of a question that remains outstanding. That one with the zero program four target slide nine, where it had the zero accepted and zero reached. I'm afraid I missed that. I presumed you filled those in, and those would be the draft public works white paper presented, the draft CREB amendment bill for consultation, and the revised built environment professions policy. I presume those were supposed to be in there. Not sure why they were left out. On slide 10, it's noted that the DPW reports that it was 86% of compliant invoices were settled within 30 working days. Now, in the report of the Public Service Commission to the Standing Committee on Appropriations, it is shown that DPW is one of the departments that paid, on average, over 100 invoices after 30 working days. So I don't know how many over 100 that wasn't given. So what is the 86% referred to? I don't understand. You surely had over 100 that were not paid within the 30 days. So could you fill it in there? Slide 17, you said the lease renewal scored 100% at 60 of 60. But lease renewals, I wonder if you could just explain to me from personal experience, you had instituted that rather odd system of monthly leases. Had that now been phased out? Because there were so many people locked out of buildings when there are those who forget to pay the leases at the end of every month. Can you just fill us in and bring us up to speed on what the situation is with those leases? Now, looking at the report by the Standing Committee on Expropriations, your use of consultants seems to be well over 274 million, but facilities management does not provide them with information to that committee. Do you have an updated figure that you could fill in? And a couple more here. I'd be quite like a progress report from your last information about the numbers of buildings owned by DPW that are now slum buildings, all being hijacked, taken over, invaded. I know we're making, I think, good progress in that regard, but I feel like we've been gone for 7 months. I know we haven't, but maybe you could just give us an update. And finally, with the audit outcomes, can we hope that when the next audited report comes out, that your focus on the audit outcomes for 2015 will have been your prime areas of focus? For example, the putting in effective steps to prevent irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. That was one of the biggies. Your trading entity didn't take effective and appropriate steps to collect all the money due. You were not letting the movable state property out at market-related tariffs. You know what they are. All of the issues raised previously, are those all issues that you examine literally on a daily basis? As a means to try and clean up what you've inherited, which was absolutely catastrophic. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Honourable Sitole.
Thank you, Chair. Some of my questions have been covered by Honourable Panas. But my interesting first one is that one of underperformance leakage. If they are saying they are 90% and above, actually, it doesn't say anything, because 90% and above, we don't know 91% or 92% if they say above, it's how many percent. And the other 10% money is on this document. And
on DPW.
There's some confusion here. I need some unpack of what they say here. If you check chapters in the sub-program, cooperative services, percentage of funded prioritized work and seen as per recruitment plan, it shows that they are all 100% and 100%. Actually, what I want to understand, how many are they saying they were just targeting four vacancies? Or how many vacancies they were targeted here when they say they have achieved 100%? Because it doesn't say anything here. And the other question is this one of percentage of default judgment against the department presented. You said that the only four cases of fraud targeted achieved. But targeted achieved. They say the only four cases. Because they say they are just targeting, it means they have only four cases. And the last one question is that one of intergovernmental. Actually, it is confusing, or it is my side, I don't know. Because they say they have achieved target. For three meetings. And they talk about three meetings with the other municipalities. And the last one is the one of, there is no page here. Number of agreement signed for joint services delivered to provinces and municipalities. The first one says the agreement signed for joint service delivery within provinces and municipalities, the only 10. The second one is agreement signed for joint service delivery within provinces and municipalities. And the third one is three agreements signed to joint services delivery within provinces and municipalities. Target achieved. What does this say actually? If you can unpack this one. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Sitole, thank you very much. Honorable
Michael. Okay, thanks, Honorable Chair. Thanks to the presenters of the report, to detailed report, actually. We understand that there was a turnaround strategy, which is 7 years. I think the issue of the payment of the invoices, the compliance of the payment of invoices, also was one of them, and also the issue of the usage of consultants to fast track the work of the department that was behind. Maybe, Honorable Chair, one will request that the department maybe do the presentation on the usage of consultants by the department, how much has been spent, and how many consultants are being used. And also, the consultant, and also whether are we getting value for money, in a sense that the skills that they are having, they are leaving behind the people that are being employed. Just to get an understanding, because we got a report that they will be faced in the issue of consultants. So I think when we get a detailed report that there are so many consultants they are used, where are they being used? So that we know exactly that they are not using the consultant to the vacancies of the people that are supposed to be doing the work. And also whether it is not the problem that makes us not to fill in the position. Instead of filling the position, we are using the consultant. Maybe we'll request that report so that we are clear what is going on now in the department and difference from the starting of the turnaround strategy and now, because it's in the making of it. On the issue, I think my colleagues have raised the issue of the payment of invoices. You know, when we got a report from Public Service Commission, they made an example of like the department is paying like an average. But here on the report, it shows that it's like, you know, we have performed 86% is a big percentage. Like average to me doesn't match the 86%. We'd want to hear your comment on that, so that we get a clarity. Also, we appreciate that you are saying that you are now trying to comply with that 30 days payment invoices. But our concern is that in the previous years, this issue of the non-payment of the 30 days has been increasing. Just to cite an example, according to the report that was tabled in the appropriations, Standing Committee on Appropriations, it was like in 2014, there were 1,932 invoices older than 30 days. And in 2015, it was like 3,330, which means that it's increasing. But here, when we get a report, maybe you will comment on that. What is the status at the moment? What is the status? Because it has been increasing the non-payment. That is over 30 days from year to year. Maybe also whether you can assure us that now, because you have tried to up your pace, we are no more going to go back to have those increasing non-payment of invoices. The last one, Honorable Chair, is around the issue of there was 16% on goods and services, and then vis-à-vis the cost containment measures. I want to get a clarity. You are saying you have less spent by 16% of the 25% that we are supposed to be spending because of the cost containment measures. I don't, if you can just unpack that one. Because to me, if we are saying that we are less spending, it means to say that is it not affecting the service delivery process? Because to me, the cost containment measures means that those goods or something that is not important, like traveling, as they were saying, catering, it must be cut down. But if you cut on the goods to say, I'm not spending, is it not affecting really the service delivery? I also saw on the issue of infrastructure that there is a low expenditure, which is less than 50%. Our worry is the fact that, you know, the infrastructure for the capital projects in the infrastructure is the project that provides work for the community, because the country is even outside it. There's a high unemployment. One, you find that the department is not filling in the budgeted positions. Also, you find that the capital projects, they are not spending on the capital project, which affects the service delivery one, as well as the employment of those unemployed people. Maybe if you can clarify to us on that. Thank you.
Honorable member, thank you very much. Honorable Maciel.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me commend the department for the presentation that you touched today. I wanted to talk on the issue of the 30 days. I think they've already said a lot on it also. To say it is long that the department has put this as a one way of compliance, the 30 days, and it seems we are not really meeting it. And maybe it's because of the target that we have given ourselves, because we said 85%, and if we say 85% and we reach 86, it is as if we have really reached the target. But I think we should have put our target even more higher than that, because at present we should be talking about 100% target as far as this is concerned, because many of our small companies, these things keep crippling them when the payments are not done within 30 days. Some of them, they end up really getting out of the whole thing because they cannot manage to run themselves without getting payments. Maybe we should look into this one and see how we can revise it. The other issue on slide number 11 is about the 100 contract that has been given to non-profit organizations. Here I just wanted to check as well, do we have any monitoring in place to ensure that these the NPOs are really making a good deal to the people whom they are hiring. In most cases, they are given this contract, they don't pay those people who are working there, and yet they've been paid. I just wanted to check on that one, as well as the department. We have a way to ensure that the people who are working there are given the correct deal. Can I have clarity on slide number 17, I think, which talks about emergency and agent and also agent intervention, where it is 9%, 10% respectively. I don't understand it very well, because the percentage are very low and we are talking of emergency. What does it actually mean? Are we not in the position to ask whether emergency is coming up or agent issues coming up? Maybe if we can have just a clarity on that one. On slide number 23, it talks about a compensation to workers being at 25%. So I wanted to check as to whether we don't have any vacancies in the department. Are we saying all the vacancies are filled? Because if we are right now at 25% expenditure, and yet we still have vacancies, what will happen if all those vacancies are being filled up? Already if we see a quarter, we are able to spend the whole money that is supposed to be used for it during the third quarter. When we hire other people, filling up the many vacancies, what is going to be happening in the coming quarter? And the issue of those targets also, I think Honorable Stoller did mention it. To say if we have, say, especially on document A, if we only talk about percentages, not talking of the numbers, it's really confusing. You don't know what is actually happening there. If we just say so many percentages without knowing how many in number were we expected to target. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mayor Matiere. Honorable Mayor Matiere.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentation, Department. My colleagues, most of my questions have been covered, but I just got their concerns in terms of a property. We need a list of properties, more especially from province and national. Why am I saying that? I'm from Limpopo, where there's a lot of properties belong to public works, people they hijack, and it's been battered, it's been demolished, a lot of them. I don't know who's responsible for that. Having said that, I thought public works were key makers when it comes to EPWP program. We still have a lot of challenges. That how do you hire and pay a lot of communities? I need the clarity in terms of payments and hiring with this EPWP program. And lastly, question of lack of professionals, engineer, civil engineer, and electrical. I don't think it's true. We have a lot of them out there, and they're beside line, or maybe they don't know, or maybe it's a question of advertising, they don't know, but do you have a list of the people who wanted to see practices? Public Works Department. And the last one, question of lease. I need clarity that how did you determine, especially when a person wanted to hire a house or a land? I just need the cost of that. How did you determine that cost? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Matet. I've noted you, Honorable Members of. I'll suggest to make it easier, I'm just referring to one of the points made by Honorable Matet in regard to provincial issues. When we know there's an issue there,
it will make it easier if we write down what the issue is. If we know of a particular area where state buildings are being captured or illegally occupied, and then we are able to write a letter and specify the issues, it will be much easier for the department to address those issues and respond directly to us. Honorable Madrop.
Chair, I'm sorry, I jumped one of the very important matters here. Slide number 19. The issue of resuscitating of the workshop. I will sound like a stat record, Chair. Because when we're dealing, when the department indicated their turnaround strategy, it's one of the things that they said they are going to resuscitate. But all the time we keep on saying resuscitating, resuscitating. When is it going to be kickstarted and really know that we have got workshops? Because you talk about also the challenge around the issue of the civil engineering skills, electrical and so on. Does the department work with the TVET colleges? Because the government has developed skills in those institutions now. Do you really as a department work with those institutions so that you try when you resuscitate those workshops, you know exactly also that you are working with the tertiary institutions, you know, that the TVET colleges especially, to assist the department. I'm not saying, when I'm saying tertiary institutions, I mean housing only. The whole country does have TVET colleges, so that you try and really develop those skills that they are saying they are making with. But we want to get a progress report on the workshops. What is really happening? Is resuscitating all the reports that are coming, resuscitating. It's really, it's something that is not moving. It's something that will come maybe when we are no more around, because it could be resuscitated. It's not saying that we have resuscitated it. This is what is happening in the department. My worry, Honorable Chair, is the fact that we once visited Open Island where there were workshops, and workshops were not utilized. Those employees were not working. They had shortages of the implement to work because there was a consultant that was being used to do the work of those people, and they remain redundant. We want to know exactly what is happening around the issue of the workshops.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. I think the issue of progress in regard to the resuscitation is covered on slide 19. But obviously from the input of the member and other members, an important aspect of the resuscitation of the workshops is the aspect that speaks to the development of internal technical skills in the department itself, so that you don't have to outsource or insource skills from outside, but where those can be developed internally. That's also what members are pointing to. And then in regard to slide 11, it states, makes mention of one unplanned state event, and no reason is given what it is, what the cost was. So it would be helpful when you articulate such to put it in context so that the reader can understand what it is. And then with regard to slide 19, it would be helpful if you can clarify how the department will decide and on what properties, which are the properties that would be disposed. So also there's some information, context, so that there's a broad understanding. This is countrywide, what's involved. Most members come from all provinces. So if the information is there, they can track it in their respective provinces. Besides us at this level getting an overall report, but they can also assist and see what Public Works is doing at the provincial level and interact with your good self as well. And then with regard to slide 24, I would just like to know why the department is transferring 170,000 to SACLHT. The reason, therefore, for that transfer of 170,000. Just to give some context. So perhaps we can give you time to decide who answers what.
Thanks, Chairperson. I have requested Mr. Riegel to deal with a couple of the items. Intergovernmental coordination is the question that was asked. There are also the questions that were asked in relation to the department, which I've asked him to respond to. The corporate services issues that have been raised, particularly around vacancies and people management issues, I will request the DDT of Corporate Services to respond to those items. There is one or two questions on EPWP for Mr. Henderson, and then myself and CFO will then deal with the balance of the questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Chairperson, some of the issues around monitoring and evaluation. There was a question about the assessment of projects at 90% plus. And what we do is we have projects above 50%, which is partially achieved, and those 90% plus, which is fully achieved. Now, if a project achieves 9 out of 10 targets, for example, if you're building 10 houses and they achieve a minimum of 9, we'll put them into the 90% plus category. And if they achieve an average of 6 out of 10, we'll put them into the partially achieved category. That is more or less how the MLD would evaluate the extent of the performance. Chairperson, moving on to the confusion that was created around our shared services, what I want to mention is that all the shared services, and in particular corporate services, governance, risk and compliance, as well as intergovernmental coordination, they are all located in a DPW program budget structure, except for finance. It's in both DPW as well as PMTE. Because PMTE is operationalizing and is on a journey towards creating a greater level of independence, as well as the fact that SCN is so critical in the business operations of the PMTE, there are finance and SCM targets in the PMTE as well, given the centrality of SCM and finance in the business model of the PMTE. Save for those, all shared services are located in the program budget structure of DPW. Chairperson, there were questions about Program 4, which is our policy branch. And Chairperson, there are a number of targets the Honourable Member spoke about where there's nothing reported, it's not applicable. What I want to mention is that the main targets of the development of the White Paper, the CIDB Amendment Bill, as well as the VP policy, those targets do not have a reporting requirement. They don't have quarter one targets. They have quarter two, quarter three, and quarter four targets. So they will be reported in subsequent quarters. But what I can report that from an MNE point of view, MNE has confirmed that the policy branch is obviously embarking upon other processes towards achieving second and third and fourth quarter targets and consultations and various elements of the work towards achievement of second, third and fourth quarter targets already in progress. However, in terms of the APP, they don't have quarter one targets. Their target for due in the next three quarters. That is why there's no reporting in that respect. Chairperson, with respect to intergovernmental coordination, we presented earlier that this is a new branch and a new function within the Department of Public Works. Given the operationalization of the PMTE, and the PMTE finance has been removed from the DPW votes and salaries and assets transferred to the PMTE, the department then filled this vacant space with a greater emphasis on our policy-making function in the construction and policy sector, as well as the development of a new function called intergovernmental coordination, whose primary role is to promote sectoral intergovernmental relations and strategic partnerships with local government and the five and provincial governments, particularly the public work sector. They coordinate work in the space of developing the immovable asset register, the armor compliance, as well as the 9-point plan, priorities based on the 9-point plan, in the development of joint plans with respect to the greening, energy saving and the like. So what you have is, even though their targets are simplistic, and they show targets that talk to 3 meetings for the quarter, I do appreciate the targets seem simplistic, and these are process targets really. They also reflect the targets of a new branch. Even though the targets appear simplistic, the intergovernmental forum that is convened includes multiple stakeholders. For example, a month ago there was joint MINMAT between the Department of Public Works and the entire Public Works family, together with the entire education sector, the universities, the 9 provincial education departments, and the national education department, and a similar engagement took place for the health sector. So even though it's only an intergovernmental forum, there are lots of outputs and outcomes that are reached in these forums that lead to joint planning for the purpose of infrastructure delivery. Chairperson, I hope I'm able to contextualize in some way what this branch is about, that in due course we probably hold them to account with greater sophisticated and more sophisticated targets. They are on a journey, of course, towards creating these going forward, but this is the first quarter that they report as a branch. Chairperson, I think I've covered what has been given to me, and I'll hand over back to my colleague.
Before you hand over to your colleague, may I beg your indulgence to utilize the only power that I have as a chairperson, namely that we rise for tea for 15 minutes. It is at the back there. At the back, there is some tea, Honorable Sishole. Thank you.